Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. Today, we're looking at a really fascinating new research paper you share.
Yeah, this one's generated some buzz. It's titled Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, UAP, Material Science and Aerospace Technology Application, Designing Transmedium Superluminal Craft.
Quite a mouthful. It's by Dr. Andrew D. Morgan from the Government of Western Australia, published just this past April 2025.
That's the one. And it really tries to tackle how these UAPs might actually, you know, work.
Specifically, how they seem to move so easily between, well, everywhere.
Yeah.
Air, water, space.
Exactly. That's the core mystery, isn't it? How do they do that? Dr. Morgan focuses on a potential outer membrane.
Right, the specialized skin, basically.
And the paper digs into how that membrane might interact with energy fields to pull off these maneuvers that seem to defy gravity, inertia, the works.
So our mission today is to sort of unpack this hypothesis, look at the proposed structure, the science behind it, what it might mean.
Consider it a shortcut to some pretty cutting-edge, maybe even fringe ideas in UAP research, but grounded in an attempt at real physics.
Okay, let's start with the problem itself, the transmedium challenge. What are the key observations that make this so puzzling?
Well, you have numerous accounts and some compelling data points showing these objects operating seamlessly across different environments.
Like going from hypersonic speeds in the air straight into the ocean.
Precisely. With no apparent splash, no sonic boom when breaking the sound barrier sometimes, and certainly no massive deceleration you'd expect, then operating underwater with similar agility.
And then potentially heading out into space.
Right. All suggesting a single system capable of handling vastly different physical conditions. Air pressure, water pressure, vacuum.
Why is that such a big deal for conventional aerospace engineering? Our stuff is super specialized, isn't it?
Totally. We design planes for air, optimizing lift and minimizing drag. Submarines are built for water pressure and buoyancy. Rockets need massive fuel expulsion for space.
They're completely different designs based on the medium.
Exactly. But UAPs don't seem to care about the medium in the same way. They don't show obvious wings or propellers underwater or massive rocket exhaust in space.
Which suggests they aren't interacting with the air or water or vacuum like our vehicles do.
That's the inference. They seem to be bypassing the standard physical interactions we rely on.
And this leads us right back to Dr. Morgan's main idea,
this
specialized outer membrane. What's the core concept here?
The hypothesis is that instead of pushing against air or water, the UAP uses this membrane as an interface with more fundamental energy fields.
The fields that exist everywhere, like electromagnetic fields.
EM fields, yes. But the paper also brings in the concept of scalar fields, which are a bit more theoretical in mainstream physics.
Okay, so this membrane interacts with these fields. What does it need to do?
It would need to selectively allow these fields to pass through or interact with it. That's the permeable part, but for energy, not matter. It would need to harness these field interactions for propulsion, maybe manipulate them to counteract gravity and inertia, and potentially allow for these near instantaneous shifts in position we hear about.
It sounds incredibly advanced, almost like manipulating space-time itself.
The paper leans in that direction, certainly hinting at physics beyond our current grasp, and the material itself would have to be extraordinary.
Which brings us to the material science aspect. What kind of material does Dr. Morgan propose?
He calls it a biopolymeric crystalline structure.
Okay, break that down. Biopolymeric crystalline.
Yeah, so crystalline suggests an ordered repeating atomic structure, like in metals or minerals. This order can be crucial for specific electronic properties.
That conductivity.
Exactly. And biopolymeric suggests it incorporates complex molecules, perhaps similar to biological ones, which could offer unique ways to interact with energy or even self-repair. It's a hybrid concept.
Combining properties of metals and maybe complex organic molecules.
That's the idea. A material unlike anything we typically engineer today.
Let's dig into how it might work. The paper talks about conductivity, permeability to fields, and charge manipulation. Why is being permeable to fields important?
Well, if the craft propels itself by interacting with external EM or scalar fields, its outer layer needs to allow that interaction. It can't be like a perfect shield blocking everything out. It needs to be open to those specific energies.
Okay. And how does the crystalline structure help with conductivity?
Crystalline structures often have electrons that can move relatively freely within the lattice. Think of metals. This allows electrical currents to flow easily.
And the biopolymeric part, what does that add?
That's maybe where the really fine control comes in. The paper suggests these components could help manage things at a quantum level, maybe stabilizing electron behavior or providing specific pathways.
And manipulating charge. How does polarizing an EM field help? You mentioned orientation or even fighting gravity.
Right. So if the membrane can control where positive and negative charges accumulate, it can generate its own electromagnetic fields. Creating a strong magnetic dipole, a north and south pole could let it align with planetary magnetic fields, for instance.
Okay, like a compass needle.
A very powerful, controllable one. And if you could polarize the field in a specific way, you might create a repulsive force.
Pushing against something.
Possibly pushing against the planet's own gravitational or magnetic field. Imagine holding two strong magnets with the same poles facing they push apart. The paper suggests a similar principle, but much more advanced, could be used to counteract gravity.
Okay, that's a big leap, but I see the analogy. Now, the paper goes even further, mentioning movement in a four-dimensional space using magnetic monopoles. That sounds like pure sci-fi.
It is highly theoretical territory. We live and perceive three spatial dimensions, length, width, height. A fourth spatial dimension is a mathematical possibility, another direction to move in, but we can't point to it.
And magnetic monopoles. Single north or south poles?
Also hypothetical. Magnets always come with both poles. But if monopoles existed and could be controlled, the paper speculates they might provide a mechanism to interact with this hypothetical higher dimensional space.
So instead of flying from A to B in 3D,
it might be more like shifting or jumping between points by leveraging this extra dimension using these energy field coordinates the paper mentions, a fundamentally different way of moving.
Wow. Okay. Deep breath. Let's connect this back to the membrane. It needs to bridge classical physics, like electromagnetism, with potentially quantum effects to manage all this.
That seems to be the implication. The crystalline lattice, with its repeating structure, could be the key interface. Quantum effects happen at the atomic and subatomic level.
Like electron spin. The paper mentions that.
Exactly. Electron spin, electron shell transitions, these are quantum phenomena. The idea is that the ordered structure, perhaps influenced by the biopolymeric components, could harness these quantum effects to mediate between the large-scale electromagnetic fields and maybe these more fundamental scalar fields.
And the paper cites specific theoretical frameworks. Maxwell's extended electrodynamics, Heaviside's gravitomagnetism.
Right. These aren't standard textbook physics, but theoretical extensions. Maxwell's equations describe classical electromagnetism brilliantly, but extensions explore nuances, like the potential reality of scalar components to the fields.
And Heaviside.
Heaviside drew analogies between gravity and electromagnetism, suggesting moving masses create a gravitomagnetic field, much like moving charges create a magnetic field. It hints at a deeper connection between gravity and EM.
So, citing these suggests the UAP tech might operate on principles that unify these forces in ways we haven't fully worked out yet.
That's a fair interpretation. It suggests the phenomena might be pushing the boundaries of our current understanding, requiring these more advanced, sometimes speculative physical models.
Let's revisit the membrane's composition. Metals and biomolecules. Why that specific mix?
It seems to be about combining the best of both worlds, theoretically. The metals, particularly low atomic weight ones, with easily movable electrons.
Why low atomic weight?
Generally, their outermost electrons are less tightly bound, freer to move and form currents. Think lithium, beryllium, maybe magnesium alloys. They provide the conductivity, the pathways for energy flow needed to generate strong EM fields.
Okay, so metals for the macro effects, the fields. What about the biomolecules?
They're proposed to handle the micromanagement, stabilizing electrons, controlling interactions at the subatomic level, maybe managing spin states. They could act as intricate regulators within the conductive metallic lattice.
Preventing energy fluctuations or disruptions.
Potentially, ensuring the whole system remains stable and precisely controllable even under extreme energy flows.
Now there's another proposed function for the biomolecules, acting as harmonic resonators, producing ultra-low frequency waves.
Yes, this is another fascinating layer. Resonance is about vibrating in sync with an applied frequency. Think of an opera singer hitting a note that shatters glass that's resonance.
So the biomolecules vibrate at specific low frequencies.
That's the hypothesis. And these specific ultra-low frequency vibrations or waveforms might be tuned to interact directly with the proposed scalar field.
And that interaction could lead to phase shifting. disappearing.
That's the really speculative leap. If the craft could resonate with a fundamental scalar field in just the right way, it might temporarily shift its state relative to our normal space-time. It wouldn't be in our 3D space in the usual way for a moment.
Explaining the blinking out and reappearing acts?
It's offered as a potential physical explanation for those kinds of observations, yes. A phase shift mediated by resonance with a scalar field.
And meanwhile, the metallic part is still handling the anti-gravity aspect.
That seems to be the division of labor proposed. The metals generate the polarized EM field for electromagnetic repulsion against gravity, while the biomolecules handle the more exotic scalar field interactions and quantum level control.
It all requires a phenomenal amount of power, surely. What does the paper suggest powers this system?
It goes big. It proposes a spinning plasma vortex powered by a nuclear-powered magnetic semiconductor.
Okay, let's break that down. Spinning plasma vortex.
Plasma is superheated, ionized gas-charged particles. Spinning it rapidly could create incredibly intense electromagnetic fields far beyond conventional magnets or electromagnets.
And the power source for this vortex?
A nuclear-powered magnetic semiconductor. This suggests something compact, incredibly long-lasting like nuclear, but with the control properties of semiconductors, perhaps able to directly shape the magnetic fields needed to contain and drive the plasma vortex. Again, highly theoretical tech.
And the point of extracting electrons and having this continuous current in the membrane.
That current is the lifeblood of the system. It sustains the electromagnetic fields for propulsion, orientation, anti-gravity, and maybe even acts as an energy shield. It's the raw power distribution network.
So how is it all controlled for navigation? You need precise adjustments.
Yeah.
The paper mentions scalar wave synchronization, discharging EM fields.
Yeah, navigation would require incredibly fine control. Scalar wave synchronization might mean aligning the craft's internal resonant frequencies with the external scalar field structure to achieve a stable position or lock onto a destination coordinate.
Like tuning a radio, but with scalar waves.
Sort of analogy, yeah. And then discharging polarized EM fields could be the trigger for movement-controlled bursts of energy that alter the craft's interaction with the fields, causing a rapid shift in position or direction. Like controlled pushes or pulls using these fundamental forces.
It paints a picture of a system operating at a level of energy control we can barely imagine.
It really does. It's a complex, integrated system where energy generation, field manipulation, and material science all have to work together perfectly.
The paper also brings in examples from nature, which is interesting. The Amazon knifefish and salmon. How do they relate?
Well, they're examples of bioelectromagnetism in action. The knifefish generates a weak electric field around itself using specialized cells called electrocytes.
And uses that field to see.
Essentially, yes. It senses distortions in the field caused by objects, prey, or other fish, allowing it to navigate and hunt in murky water where vision is useless. Its body shape and movements modulate this field.
And salmon.
Salmon generate electric fields through muscle contractions, especially powerful tail beats. This is thought to help them sense water flow, orient themselves, maybe even sense the Earth's magnetic field for navigation.
So what's the takeaway from these fish for UAP propulsion?
It shows that biological systems can generate and sense electric fields for navigation and interaction with their environment. It also shows how conductivity, especially in water, enhances these effects.
So provides a sort of proof of principle that manipulating EM fields can be used for sensing and maybe even influencing movement, especially in a conductive medium like water.
Exactly. It grounds some of the paper's concepts in observed biology, even if the scale and power involved with UAPs are vastly greater. It hints that nature might have already figured out some of the basic principles. Perhaps reducing inertia or drag through field interactions isn't entirely alien.
Finally, the paper uses an analogy. The biomolecules in the membrane are like semiconductors in solar panels. How does that work?
It's about controlled energy conversion and flow. In a solar panel, the semiconductor absorbs light energy, photons, and converts it into a controlled flow of electrons, electricity.
Right.
The analogy suggests the biomolecules in the UAP membrane act similarly, but with different energy inputs. They might act as resonance chambers, selectively absorbing or interacting with ambient EM or scalar field energy.
And converting it.
Converting it, or using it to regulate the flow of charge within the metallic crystalline lattice. Just like a semiconductor controls electron flow, these biomolecules might control the energy dynamics within the membrane at a very fine level.
So they're like the control gates for the energy, ensuring the right fields are generated or the right resonances are achieved.
That seems to be the idea. balancing conductivity, resonance, stability, all within this complex material structure to achieve the desired effects.
So wrapping this up for everyone listening, what's the big picture here? Dr. Morgan's paper is?
Well, it's ambitious. It absolutely is. It presents a hypothesis, and it's important to stress, it is a hypothesis that attempts to provide a scientifically plausible, though highly advanced, framework for UAP capabilities.
Grounded in concepts from material science, quantum physics, field theory, even biology.
Right. It's trying to connect the dots between the seemingly impossible observations and potential underlying physics, however speculative.
The central idea of this biopolymeric crystalline membrane manipulating fundamental energy fields is mind-bending.
It really pushes the envelope. It suggests that mastering transmedium travel, maybe even superluminal travel, isn't about brute force rocketry, but about understanding and manipulating energy and space-time at a much deeper level.
A level that might involve unifying gravity, electromagnetism, and maybe these scalar fields?
Potentially, yes. It points towards a physics that might lie beyond our current standard model.
And this raises huge questions, doesn't it? Could we ever engineer materials like this?
That's the multi-trillion dollar question, isn't it? It highlights the potential limits of our current materials, science, and physics.
And maybe suggests that studying UAP anomalies, if done rigorously, could actually push science forward.
That's certainly one motivation for taking these things seriously from a scientific perspective. Anomalies often drive discovery.
And the nod to bioelectromagnetism is a good reminder, too. Nature's had billions of years of R&D.
Absolutely. Sometimes the clues to future tech are hidden in plain sight in the biological world around us.
So we definitely encourage anyone interested to try and find Dr. Morgan's paper, look at the research cited, think about it.
What aspects sparked your curiosity? What questions remain? Do these concepts resonate or seem completely outlandish?
It's all part of the ongoing exploration. Your own thinking is key. Thanks for joining us on this UAP Research Deep Dive.